Good evening to you. Thank you for tuning in again and appreciate you staying faithful with us here. And I hope you've had a good week so far. As I often say, had a good Sunday. I hope you did, maybe around family. And we're ready to jump into the Word of God tonight. Remember some of our prayer requests, if you will. Again, obviously with our church building, we're praying about construction to begin here ASAP, waiting on everything to pass over and get ready for that. Sure, pray and appreciate your prayers for all of that as well. And if you would pray for that, if you have a prayer request, again, let us know that. We'd love to hear from you. And I know we can't have contact right now in a lot of ways or fellowship, but we'd love to hear from you. Again, let us know how you're doing. We'd appreciate it very much. All right, let's jump into the Word tonight. As we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for an opportunity again, and we praise you for your goodness to us. Thank you for all that you are doing, and we cannot wait to see what you're going to do, Lord. We do trust and believe that you are still in control. You're still on the throne, and we ask that you'd guide us as your people to stay faithful and to continue to press forward, even in some of these uncertain times, Lord. We thank you for the Word of God, and I pray something said tonight would be a help and a blessing to those listening. Lord, we thank you again in Jesus' precious name, and amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go to the Old Testament of Hosea, chapter 11, Hosea 11. On Wednesday evenings, we've been going through what to avoid. What do we avoid or should avoid in the Christian life? Again, particularly, I'm speaking to the believer. I'm speaking to the child of God, and we got to avoid certain things. It's, as I said a few weeks ago, it's not rocket science. You know what to avoid. You know, if you're a student of the Word of God, what you should be avoiding and abstaining from. But some helps, I hope, to you as we've looked at. We looked at, first of all, we looked at avoiding spiritual failure. You and I ought to avoid that spiritual failure that can often creep in and overcome us, if you will. And then we looked at avoiding deception. Because of that, we need to be very careful. There's a lot of deceivers out there, as we looked at, first of all, in our adversary and in the world around us, and even in our own selves, being very cautious and careful. Tonight, I want to talk and touch on how to avoid that which the Bible terms backsliding, or the New Testament term of drawing back. Now, let's look at our text here. Just one verse I want you to hone in on. Hosea 11, verse 7, he says, "And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him." My people are bent to backsliding from me. You and I, again, a caution to us. You know, and I know, we've got to be careful about that. Backsliding. Now, the Old Testament term is that which is to backslide, or to slide back. The New Testament, it refers to it in another way of drawing back. It appears 17 times in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament we see it many times. But a drawing back. If we're not careful, we will draw back. You know, it's inevitable sometimes. If we're not careful, we're just going through life, busy at work, trying to handle things with marriage and family and kids and all that. We can sometimes put aside the Word of God or the Scriptures and the prayer time and all those things. So again, are you where you're supposed to be? Boy, this is a message that I need, especially thinking through. Are my priorities in place like they should be? I think about, and I love the story I heard, four pastors, they got together one afternoon and they were beaten down, they were tired. They said, "You know, fellas, we're always dealing with people that come to us to confess their problems and their sins and all of this, and they want help from us. What about us, though?" And the other pastor spoke up and he said, "Well, let's encourage each other this evening. Let's tell each other maybe some problems we're having or some sins we're dealing with and help each other out." And they all agreed, "Well, that's a good idea." Well, the first pastor went and he said, "I'll go first." And he said, "Fellas, I need to confess something to you. And I hope you don't judge me. I hope you don't think less of me." They said, "Oh, no, we won't do that." He said, "But I have a problem with foul language. Oh, I use foul language from time to time and this and that, and I'm so sorry." And they said, "Oh, don't feel bad. We're here in it together, brother. We're here to help you. We're here to be a blessing." The next guy went and he said, "Fellas, I got to confess to you. I have a problem with gambling. Oh, I love gambling. I love the thrill of it. I love to go and see what I can, if I can double my money and all of that." And they said, "Oh, don't feel bad about that, brother. We're going to get through it together." The third guy looked and he said, "Well, fellas, I have a problem with smoking cigars, and I love cigar smoking, and it's just a habit of mine. I can't seem to kick it. I hope that you won't think less of me." And they said, "No, no." And they all looked over to the fourth pastor, and he's just sitting there kind of with his hands folded and his head down. And they said, well, go on and tell us. Go ahead. Don't feel embarrassed, brother. Don't feel shy. We're in this together, brother. He said, well, I have to confess to you fellas, my biggest sin is I have a nasty habit of gossiping, and I can't wait to go out to tell everybody. We got to be careful sometimes, don't we? As we think about, we can backslide, we can get into a state like maybe those fellas did, and we need to come to Christ, as we've looked at before, and confess our sins. But are you up to par, if I could say? Now, our text here, notice, indicates there are those that draw back or backslide. They can backslide. That's an inevitable part of the Christian life. All of us are going to do it, and it's going to be an occasional time. None of us are perfect, right? None of us will be up to par all the time. So understanding this, we can fall back. Now, you may say, I'll never backslide. I'll never draw back. I've made up my mind. I'm going through with it. And we see here determination and grit are necessary and good. However, we must be reminded of God's warning. Now, listen to his warning in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Take heed lest he fall. We must realize that it is not our determination and grit alone that will keep us in God's will. Unless we depend upon him to keep us, we will backslide and we'll never accomplish what he wants us to do. And that comes back to our submission to him, our humility before him and saying, God, I have a tendency as a human being to draw back, to go backwards. We live in a wicked world. Some of you dear people work in secular environments. You work around ungodly people and you stand fast. You keep your testimony. Many of you people, you mothers and others especially, go do many errands and do take care of the kids and have to take them here and there and deal with ungodly people. You single people as well, deal with so many around you, maybe through your schooling and other stuff. And you're standing true. We must be careful though and say, Lord, without you, I will backslide. Without you, I'll draw back. I want to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells many sad stories of backsliders, if we could say. It names them. It gives their bitter description. It gives their downfall. You know many of these we've covered before. Solomon was a man determined to serve God, but later drew back. It says in 1 Kings 11, verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And we know that. Now, Solomon's father, David, as well, was a man after God's own heart, but he did as well backslide. Samson, he backslid. Achan backslid. Simon, Peter in particular, backslid. We know John Mark backslid. We know Demas. Do you recall back 2 Timothy? Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Gone and done his own thing? No. Having loved this present world. And that's a big case that we're going to look at in just a minute about loving this present world. But he was a backslider. Now again, coming back to you, it's very dangerous, it's subtle, it must be corrected the moment it's detected before it grows worse, And so seeing this here this evening, I hope to be a help and a blessing to you. And we see, first of all, what are some things or areas that would cause us to backslide? First of all, that it is, number one, it's a gradual process in our lives. Gradual. It's gradual. You heard the term, Rome didn't fall in a day, right? It's going to take time. It's a gradual process. And in God's great mercy and kindness, what does he do? Through those times, he's repeatedly convicting us, repeatedly working in our hearts, repeatedly bringing verses to our lives and our daily time with him and saying, hey, Tim, you need to correct that. Hey, Tim, you need to watch out there. Hey, you probably shouldn't have said that. Hey, you better be careful how you joke around right there. And those are things always happening in my own life, and I hope in yours too. But it's a gradual process. Now, I want to bring us back to a very important reference for us, Genesis 13. If you have your Bibles open, let's go back to Genesis 13. Now, this is a very, very applicable reference for us as we see it's a gradual process that we go through. Genesis 13, as you recall, and you know your Bibles, is a story of, in particular, Lot and his gradual demise, if you will, or gradual process of backsliding. Now, we've read this, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, maybe even longer than that. But verse number 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Now we go on, and we see that what's happening, and Lot joins himself, as you know and recall, to that wicked city. But a couple things under this. Letter A, it begins with selfishness. Selfishness. At the heart of it, you and I are selfish in that regard and saying, I want it this, I want this way, I want this in my life. I want this material thing, or I want to excel here, or I want to learn more here. Whatever it is in that regard, that it's a gradual process. It begins with a self-centeredness. Lot looked up and said, Abraham said, Lot, which one do you want? Take your pick of it, buddy. Lot, he should have deferred, as you know, to Abraham and said, you're older than me. You're the man of God. You're the leader of us all here. God has chosen you. You're following God's will. But he didn't. What did he say? Hot dog, amen. Yeah, let me give it. Let me get it. Let me have first pick here. I want whatever I can get. Get all I can and keep all I get and all of that we've covered. It begins with the selfishness. Under this, Lot chose when he should have left it to Abraham. We already said that. Two, Lot chose good over best. He chose the good over the best. You know God has best for you. He has his best interests in mind for you. His will is that you would have the very best. You'd say, well, how come I'm going through such trials and difficulties? God is developing in each one of us. He's creating in each one of us, and he's helping us to become more, as we've said, Christ-like. Okay? So Lot chose good over best. If we're not careful, we kind of will compromise and say, well, that's good enough. That's good enough. That's okay. I'll take that. It's not the best, but I'll take that. We don't want to go through God's maybe schooling. And there's a caution. Let God choose for you. If Lot would have said, Lord, you choose for me. And sometimes when God chooses for us, it's not what we want. We say, well, Lord, I wouldn't have picked it that way. I wouldn't have gone that way. No. Again, coming back to our self-centeredness, the backsliding is a gradual process beginning with selfishness. Let God choose for you. Letter B, it leads to compromise. Compromise. He compromised. He allowed compromise to enter into his heart and into his life. Now, what happened here? Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's the first indication that you're a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. You pitch your tent toward Sodom. Coming back to, as we covered a while back, about what are we looking at? He allowed his eyes to concentrate down there on that wicked city. He could see people coming and going and coming in the gate, going out the gate. He could hear the parties at night. He could hear all that was going on, all those things. And he said, boy, I want to be a part of that. By the way, run from that. Get away from those things that are causing you to slide gradually backwards. You're sliding. Now, Lot, too, went and moved then into town. Not only did he pitch his tent facing the city, then he went ahead and what? Moved into the city. There's a gradual process. You understand we're getting at here. Thirdly, Lot was soon then seated in the gate, meaning he literally served on the town council. He was involved. He was a city councilor. Oh, you know Lot? Yeah, we just voted him in. Okay. He was literally a part of the city. He was making decisions for the city. On and on we could go. Do you see the process of compromise that took place there? Again, coming back to this here, nip it in the bud, right? Cut it off. What is causing a gradual process in my life and in our lives? Oh, how we need it. We need more Christians to stand and say, no, I'm not going to go that way. I may be sliding backwards. I'm going to get my footing back down into the Word of God, and I'm going to keep pressing forward. Keep going. Keep going. Now, it leads to compromise. Thirdly, letter C, it brings chastening. It brings chastening. Lot did not heed, and Lot did not correct. Now, notice chapter 14 of Genesis. In particular here, let's jump down, verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. Now again, it brought chastening. As you recall, they came, those kings, and they took. Lot took his family, took some things, all of that. And it was an indication or a chastening of the Lord, from the Lord. But Lot didn't heed it. He didn't follow through. Now, if you have some type of a chastening or conviction, obviously, respond to that. As you know, respond as quickly as possible. I love the quote, but obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's easy to say, hard to do, isn't it? Obey every impulse. Now, this brings a chastening, compromise, selfishness. Letter D, it leads to ultimately disaster. Lot, you know, lost his children. Lot, you know, lost his wife. He lost of almost all of his earthly possessions. And out of Lot and out of a sin, a sinful life, and ultimately a sinful act by his daughters, they produce two of the most horrific enemies of the nation of Israel, even still today. Still today. Ammon and Moab, you know that. Still today, they're battling with these descendants of these two. This all comes back to one man who decided not to live for God and decided not to get right with God when he should have and when he had the chance. You and I understand that our actions affect those around us, and we need to be cautious and careful about all of that. It leads to disaster. So it's a gradual process, my friend. Number two, can I say this? The backsliding is the result of giving in to pressure around us. Now, this is something that hits a little closer to home, maybe for us. There's a lot of pressure around us, isn't there? Pressure to go here, pressure to fulfill this duty, pressure to fulfill our job or whatever it is, pressure to fulfill the relationships around us. At the heart of it is the heart. At the heart of it is the heart. It's a heart problem. Now, listen to Proverbs 14 and verse 14. He says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." From himself. The opposite of a backslider. The backslider is filled with his own ways. What I want, how I feel, I better get my way. My wife better know how I feel. I'll get the last word. She'll get the last word. It's all of those things and coming back to our selfish hearts. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. We get our eyes off the Lord, become overwhelmed by what is going on around us. We then begin to give in to the pressure, if you will. Now, first of all, the pressure from the society of this world, the society around us, constant. Now, coming back to our example here of Lot. Lot wanted wealth and power. That's evidently clear in his life. He wanted the wealth, wanted power. Two, Lot's wife may have wanted social position. She wanted a house. In fact, you recall the story. They literally, the angels, had to take this guy and his family by the hands and drag them kicking and screaming out of the city before it's destroyed. And Lot's wife couldn't stand it. She had to get one last look. I wonder how my house is doing. I hope my house is... Oh, what happened? Pillar of salt. Not a good thing. Thirdly, Lot's children may have wanted social acceptance. Social acceptance. The social acceptance of today in our society is education in a lot of ways. In other areas, you know that. But social acceptance. Being careful about honing back in. Can I say, be careful with our children. What? Hey, they get a heart for something of the world. Oh, Dad, Mom, I want to do this. I want to fit in here, fit in there. And we kindly help them. Not keeping them under a rock, you know, but we help them along, don't we? Say, this is what the Bible says. You believe the Bible. This is what God wants for us. And this is what you ought to show them and follow through with. Fourthly, let me say another character. Demas loved this world, as we said. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. He loved this present world. He departed from Paul. 1 John 2:15, we read last week, but love not the world, neither the things of the world. So we see here what took place in the gradual process that took place, sliding back. The pressure, secondly, though, from the covetousness or lust of the flesh. Again, Proverbs 14, verse 30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You ever find yourself there? Envying sinners, envying the world, envying what they have. By the way, don't the worldly people look like they have so much freedom? Don't they? They have so much freedom. It seems like they have so much ease with it. But let me tell you something. That's a deceitful outlook from the adversary and from your flesh. And from the world. They're trying to get you to think, well, you can have all that you want. You can do whatever you want and not have any consequences. It's a lie. It's a lie. The pressure. Now, we think about Lot coveted the well-watered plain. It looked good. It was green. It was lush. All of that. We said before, you know that. Everything that glitters ain't gold. To Achan. Another example. He coveted the spoils of Jericho. Let me read the verse here. Joshua 7, verse 21. When I saw among the spoils, now this is Achan speaking, you recall, a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And you know what happened to them, obviously. God told him to get rid of them, had to literally take them out and execute them. Now, because of this, his covetousness, the covetous, the lust of the flesh, Samson lusted for Delilah, which was not God's will. You know, David lusted for Bathsheba. On we could go. This is the gradual process, Hebrews 13:5. Listen, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness, meaning your lifestyle. Conversation, the word conversation in the Bible, you know, means a lifestyle. Let your lifestyle, let your interaction with other people, let it be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, present tense. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you have, if all you have is Jesus, then you have all that you need, right? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm always with you. Okay, that must be all that I need. That's what he's saying. Be content. Oh, if I think back in my life, if I would have just been content with certain things, I would have not gotten myself into so much trouble. I've bought things in my life that I know I shouldn't have bought. Why? I didn't need it, right? Because I was what? Covetous. I wasn't content. Oh, I remember back in about 5 or 6 years ago when there was a vehicle that I wanted and I said, oh, I've got to have that car. And you know, obviously you say that little prayer to the Lord and Lord, if you want me to have it, you'll open the door up for me, when I really didn't listen. And the door was kind of closed and I just kind of barged the door open. You know, you ever had those circumstances before? And I bought that car. I got that car. Oh, and it was shiny. It was nice. And we didn't have it more than 3 months and it started giving us trouble. And I took it to the mechanic and he said, well, I've been through the whole thing and I can't figure out what is wrong with this car. And he did some things to it and got it running again. And we drove it for about another 2 or 3 weeks and it came back right back and it died on us again. Boy, we couldn't get that thing to run for nothing. And inevitably, I lost money on it and all kinds of things. And I look back and I kind of, you know, you get that feeling and go, I know, Lord, I know, I know. He's so gracious to me so often in my life. But you think about this, that if we're not careful through a covetousness, we can do things that are outside of God's will, obviously, but we can come to the place where we start to go backwards, you know, instead of forwards. We're literally sliding backwards. If you can imagine the word picture there, when you slide back, you're not moving your feet, are you? Your feet are planted. And you're just sliding. You're drifting, if you will. You ever done that on ice or mud before? You know that. You ought to say, Lord, I better get my feet moving in the right direction. Now, Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Do you see it's in your power? It's in your control. It's in my control. Oh, well, it just happened. I had a friend and fell into marriage, fell apart and other things and problems happened. And then it came back to, well, it just happened. No, it didn't. Did it? It was a gradual process. And you made not provisions for the flesh, as he says, to fulfill the lust thereof. We have to be daily taking care of that, making it a point for us to take the charge, take the lead and say, God, I'll make that decision to serve you. Now let her see the pressure from fear. Not only the pressure from covetousness, but the pressure from fear. Simon Peter, you know, feared the crowd. He spoke and he, what, rejected the Lord? Why? Because of the crowd there. Weren't you with him? No. John Mark feared the strange places or the difficult places, if we could say. Paul, you know, there was a contention between him and he said, John Mark, he left us. He didn't want to stay with us. Didn't want to stay faithful. So I don't want him to come back with us. Now later, as you recall in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, bring Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. And so thinking through, but we must be very careful about this. Pressure from fear. The pressure from service. Next, pressure from service. Now, as we see here in particular, Revelation chapter 2, there's many churches mentioned, in particular the church at Ephesus. Now, the Ephesians in Revelation 2 were diligent and no doubt determined not to backslide. However, Jesus had to call attention to their backsliding and give them a stern warning, as you know, a stern warning. When we backslide or draw back, it becomes evident in our lives. We do not have that fervent love for the Lord. We find Bible reading, prayer time to be difficult. We sometimes stop doing either one. There's no real desire to witness for the Lord. The church becomes boring. We do not enjoy intending as we once did. On and on we could go. And we can ultimately stop seeking God and confessing our sins. We lose our joy. We lose our peace and happiness. And again, are you where you're supposed to be? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Just some check marks for us today. Do you have the joy, peace, and happiness that God has provided to you? Are you standing strong in the faith with Him? So there can be pressure from without, but we do not have to give in to that. Why? We have the strong Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to help us. Number four, let me conclude here. The backsliding is cured by returning to Christ. Now that's pretty elementary, we know. But backsliding is cured by returning to Christ. Now Jeremiah 3, verse 22, listen to this. Jeremiah 3, 22. He says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Return from your and I'll heal your backsliding. Return to God. Return to Christ. Come back. Come back. Now let me say a couple things. Letter A, self-imposed punishment or probation is not the cure. If you're like me sometimes, oh, I'm backslid, I'm not being where I should be in this area of my life, spiritual life. I'll read more of the Bible. I'll study more. I'll memorize more. I'll pray more. That's self-imposed punishment. Now, those are good things. But you come back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want you to help me and guide me and encourage me and give me the strength I need." On and on we go. So don't punish yourself. Again, a lot of people they'll punish themselves emotionally. "Oh, I'm no good. I can't do it. You know, this and that." No. You trust God and say, "God, I want to be back where I should be." Letter B, returning to our love for Christ. Our love for Christ. Now, Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5, he says, "Nevertheless, again, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works." Go back. Where's the place? You do a little detective work. Come back to. Oh, it's right there. Yep. That new schedule has gotten me off track. Or, oh, it's right there. That new hobby I implemented into our life, it's taken away from it. Whatever it is, you know that. "Whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works." Now, remember your first love, which is for Him. 2, confess your sins. You know that. 3, give Him first place and choose to love Him with all your heart. It's a choice. It's a choice. Now, just some things here I hope to be a help and a blessing to you to help get back where we should be. It's a choice on my part and your part to come back and say, "God, I want to be where you want me to be. As your child, I want to please you in all that I do, all that I say, all that I do. Are you where?" Now, let me conclude here with a quote, and I think it's very helpful and fitting. But it goes this way, "Prevention is far better than cure." Prevention is far better than cure. We must be alert and avoid a gradual backsliding in our lives. Prevent rather than cure. You and I ought to have that philosophy, that heart, that desire in our hearts deep down. I want to prevent backsliding rather than, "Lord, go through the process and then, Lord, help me come back. Go through the process, help me come back." No, we prevent it. Preventative maintenance. "Lord, I don't want to go there." And it comes back to ultimately our time with Him, our time in the Scriptures, our time alone with the Lord. Oh, and I think about that. How many people could have avoided the pitfalls and the problems in their lives if they would have stayed close to the Lord? It's inevitable in our lives. We will have times of drawing back. We'll have times, not of disbelief, but just of getting some apathy in our lives, not be where we should be. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you to think that God is still on the throne and He's gracious and merciful and He loves us. He wants to see His children successful in the spiritual life serving Him. Are you where you are today? I hope you are, and we're praying for you. I'm praying for you personally, and if you have a need, please let us know that, as I often say. May God bless you the rest of your week. I pray that you'd grow in the Lord, and we'll hopefully see you back here on Sunday morning, all right? Well, God bless, my friends. Let's end with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to share your word tonight. I pray something said touch the hearts of those listeners, Lord. I pray you'd help me, Father, personally, Lord. Before I preach it, Lord, I would live it. Strengthen me, Lord, in areas that bring to light, in areas that, Lord, I've not been where I should be. And Lord, help us all. How we love and thank you, God, just an opportunity to serve you, to know you, and to be your children. How grateful we are. Help us, Lord, in the days ahead. We love and thank you in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen.